everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The work of the Lord is an awesome work. Remember, the body of Christ is one. And the operations of God, though they are done through many people, millions of people, it's one work. The work of God is one. If it's one, then our works are in sync, one with another. All guided by the head. Jesus Christ is the head. And the Spirit of God guides us into all truth. And we perform factions of God's work. We do a part. We know in part and we work in part. But it's one work. This is a concept that I learned from the Lord. What he's saying to his body. Many times, what the Lord give us in Sunday school, pastors saying in regular church service, and other ministers are saying on TV, radio, wherever. God loves us. And he has our best interest at heart. And whenever he comes around, he comes to bless us. And he comes to help us go forward. And like we said in the previous broadcast, many times we look at a king. God is a king, but he loves us. And the word King of Kings, the reference for God as a king, there's nothing on this earth, and there was no king that can compare to the God kind of king. The closest thing was David. Among human kings, David was after God's own heart. But our God is much greater. He's perfect. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. There's no darkness in him at all. Nothing but light, the pure light of God's word. That's who he is. That's who we serve. Now, human kings, they try to dominate God's people. And if they fear you, they will kill you. Because they're like the leaven of Herod. Not all, but many. Herod loved his position more than what's right, more than people. And God left his position, became a man to rescue his people from the dangers of sin. A man like Herod would not have done that. A man like Pharaoh never would do that. And most kings wouldn't do that. They wouldn't go without for one day. But there were good kings of old. They would risk everything to protect their kingdom. Even our president is a commander-in-chief. A real king would get his hands dirty and protect the lives of the kingdom, of those in his kingdom. And the Lord our God is much greater than men. The reason I'm saying all these things, the way we see God is the way we'll respond. The way we see him is the way we'll trust him. But the more we see him as he is, the more we'll trust him for who he is. I never take for granted that I'll just automatically trust all that God has say to me. But I know from the track record, the Lord prepares me for things, and I end up doing things that I never thought I would do that are actually greater. But because he's foundational, he prepared me to receive the next step. And now I trust him. I trust him now more than I ever have, I believe. So a few years ago, I started confessing that I would do all that's in his heart. And to be honest with you, the first times I said it, I said, wow, that's a good confession, but I want to make sure I mean that. So I continued. I said, no, this is right. God will not lead me wrong. This is what I preach. This has become my message. And I'm going to go to whatever step I can go to. I'm going to believe him for all that's in his heart. That conditions me to receive from the one who loves me the most. And the Lord may use me to do some amazing things to men, but that's not the reason. The reason is I trust him, and I know that he'll use me faithfully to do his will. And I want to cooperate fully and make sure that I don't disobey him somewhere. But I've learned not to fear those things, but I don't take for granted that I'll just do it because it's the right thing to do. Because when you do things from the heart, it's according to your will, and it's done on purpose. I follow God on purpose. I believe him and take him at his word on purpose. And to keep my old habits out of the dynamics, I can make confessions that I'll do all that's in his heart, so that I will yield to him at the most necessary times, and even every time. But every time I've done that, and every time he give me something new to do, as I'm faithful, I learn greater things. And I see it helps me to see things in a much greater way. And then you can operate in the things of God. Now, it's not all about work with God. In the Psalms, he'll lead us in paths of still water. Sheep don't drink out of, I heard that they don't drink, they only drink when there's still water. They won't drink from moving water. They drink from still water, and they need the shepherd to lead them there. That still water represents the things that I need, things that will make my life go forward, things that will help me win in life. He'll guide me to what I would really enjoy. He'll help me see concepts that I would appreciate. I talked to my wife today, and we talked about how most people don't know what they're good at. There are people that are musicians and don't know it. There are people that have great organizational skills, they don't know it. There are people that are carpenters and don't know it, because they never took time to explore what they like. Their life was consumed with chores. And many, long time ago, well, last year anyway, I did a broadcast, and I talked about how the radio broadcast, how some people, because they were the oldest sibling and they had to take care of the youngest siblings, they got into what I call mother mode. And wherever they go in life, they end up in a mothering role. They watch out for people. They feel like they have to tell people what to do, because they spent a large portion of their childhood thinking for other people, younger siblings. And they get that way, and they live in mother mode. Now, when that happens, they don't take time to explore their own life like they should. And then there are those who were the baby. People always did stuff for them, and they'll wait till somebody else do something. Wherever we are in life, however we do, we have a habit system. Sometimes we have to overcome our habit system. And we have to see things circumspectly. We have to look at what we're doing from an outside perspective. You know, circumspectly comes from two root words. Circle meaning circle, you're looking inward and outward from a spectator's position. You're looking at things in a holistic way. What am I doing? How am I doing it? How does it come across? We know how it comes across to us because we're making decisions, but we don't always realize how we come across to others. But the Lord thinks of all things. So when we follow His guidance, we're able to think outside the box or outside the circle, since we're talking about circumspectly. We're able to think beyond our normal. We're able to think beyond our normal routine. And the more we do so, and as we follow God, we're going to grow from glory to glory. And we'll make changes and adjustments in the way we do things. And they're going to be good. Because everything about the Lord is good. And as we adopt His ways, we take His ways on, and we learn from Him, and we walk in His ways, we find a better way to do things. The whole while, our life is steadily increasing. And remember, the things of God, they are multiplied to us. And the things that we work for, the things we desire in situations we like, they are added to us. But remember, the more we multiply in the knowledge of God and in the ways of God, the wisdom of God, His love, and all the characteristics that Peter talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1, the things that make us strong, they are multiplied to us. And they help us and aid us in enjoying the things that we are attaining all the time. In the Lord, In God's kingdoms, prosperity is steady. It continues to come all the time. You work. In this country, the average worker works 8 hours a day. And then we do our necessary things. And we have fun with our families and train our children. And then we sleep about 8 hours, hopefully. But every day you're doing deeds and things that's adding to your prosperity. When you take time to train your children and teach them, these are things that cause you to prosper as well. Because children that you train become an asset to you. And remember, prosperity is always steady. And sometimes you'll receive more than other times. And bonuses and overtime, things like that. But your basic prosperity is always steady. And you can take the strong times and use it against the weak times. You know, in the book of Genesis, Joseph told King Pharaoh to save a fifth and set it aside. And they had the rest to live off, but the fifth, they set it aside. And they had 7 years of plenty, and the fifth part portion that they set aside over time, it was enough to carry them through 7 terrible years of drought. Now that 7-year drought was an earth changer. It changed everything. There was nothing but hot weather and no rain for 7 years. I can imagine how bad it was. A lot of trees died. There was no food. And the Lord got some things done that needed to be done. Men were so hard-headed, He had to give 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Now God was keeping covenant with Father Abraham. If you study, when God made the covenant with him, God showed him that his seed would spend 400 years in another land. Now, Abraham saw this that day. So, God was keeping covenant. That's why all this happened. When God made a covenant with Abraham, there was nothing on earth that was going to stop God from keeping. Jesus was coming. Jesus came because of the covenant that God kept with Father Abraham. I'm going to say that again. Jesus came because God kept covenant with Father Abraham. Nothing could stop it. Satan tried many ways to stop it. Every war had something to do against that covenant. Satan didn't want people to know God. Even wars where they knew nothing about this, evil men were trying to spread their seed over the earth. And they would kill men that were better than they were. People that were less evil. Evil men, like the Vikings, they came and covered the land. They tried to just, the enemy used people like that to kill people that loved, that would walk in love. While they were, he'll use less honorable people to kill more honorable people if he can get away with it. That's why the gospel had to spread. See, when the gospel spread, a lot of things would stop that Satan started. A lot of evil was put to death. Now, there were also wars. A lot of good people died, and they still do. Even God's people, even Christians get killed in war. But ultimately, we win. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And even the Christians that died, they didn't go to hell. They died standing. And the body, they may have killed the body, but not the spirit. There's nothing on this earth that can stop my spirit, man. And what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. That's a true fact. So, the things that I want to change, I can change. I can govern my life according to the word of God. I can rule my spirit. And I can pray for my safety. And I can confess my victory. And I can confess that I will do all that's in the Lord's heart. I will do all of his will. That's a steady confession of faith that I have. And it helps me to do exactly that. And I do his will with joy and enthusiasm. I thank God for the blessed right to do that. I operate in his grace. His grace is sufficient for me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So can all of us. And that's something that people have to choose to walk in. Every part of God's word, you have to choose it and make it yours. You have to decide, I'm going to do this. You may not know how, you may feel you're not good at it, and you might not be. But that doesn't matter. Start confessing the word of God now. And everything that needs to happen can happen for you. You can make all the changes that need to be made in your character. You can strengthen the relationships in your life. You can speak life to over your children, over your spouse, over your siblings, over your parents. You can speak life. You can surround them with love and with faith. That's what Kenneth Hagin told the lady how to pray. He said, confess that, make confessions that you surround your son with love and with faith. And she was obedient. And he started going to church on his own. He started following God. He started being an asset. And not a curse. That's the power of the gospel. But it's based on love. See, without love, it means nothing. Everything in the kingdom of God is it takes love to operate according to the kingdom of God. It takes the love of God in our lives. To draw near to the Lord, to do the right things, and to go forward in him. It's like I always say, the Lord had me saying, he's foundational. Everything about God is foundational. Structure, wisdom, goodness. He cares about it. He does nothing without his love. Everything he does pertains to his love towards us. And so it is with others. Now, the plan of God is from his heart, from his mind. And he knows every soul and how they take things, how they process, how they consider. And he sends people to be a blessing to them, to speak his word, to be kind. Sometimes the move of God is just his kindness in operation. People that believe in you, people that help you, people that are pointing you in the right direction. And everything is based on the love of God. Many people are looking for the great revival to be something so fantastic. People finally doing God's will, dancing in the streets. That's the result of the foundation. That's the result of his foundation in operation. People that are that's operating according to the genuine love of God. That they are the ones who attract the Holy Spirit in the first place. They are the reason people believe in the first place. One scripture said that the love of many will wax cold, will grow cold. That's because of satanic interference from cold religion and people that have taken heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, a thriving church attracts people who are sincere. The Lord once said it this way: sincerity attracts sincerity. And when he told me that, I was considering how I was attracted to the ministry of Reverend Kenneth Hagin. I used to listen to him every day. And his and people that were trained by him. He introduced people back to faith again. Not just for salvation, but for healing and other things too. He taught us that we could live by our faith. And he used his testimony on the deathbed. And his books are wonderful. The book I Believe in Vision was a blessing. And somebody gave my pastor the authority of the believer. And he went to Rhema and studied. He moved his whole family to Oklahoma and he finished Rhema Bible College. Now, I was thinking about all that, and the Lord spoke and said, sincerity attracts sincerity. At the same time, the love of many has waxed cold, has grown cold, because cold religion, it depicts God as powerless. It changes. It's just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a lying alternative. It's an illusion. It sounds good. And only those who receive God's word on the inside, and those who are attracted to the light of God's word, can overcome it fully. And because of cold religion, false teaching, false training, false doctrine, doctrines of devils, a lot of people are hindered from learning. Because it puts in a parasitic type of, it's a battery that has a parasitic draw. If a car has a parasitic draw, it's a little bit, it's a continued small drain on the battery. And over all night long or next day, it'll kill that battery dead. Well, the training of Satan, the teaching of Satan, the lies of Satan is like that parasitic draw. The word that you've planted in your heart is enabling you to do the greater things, to think the higher, to take the high position. What I mean by that is the position of strength. To be the big guy. To be the man that will stand in opposition. To be the woman who will not lose faith. but believe God for the benefit of her family. It's the ones who, when they are slandered, they don't revile back. They're not mean. They don't change their demeanor. They don't change their personality. They continue to operate according to the living love of God. They take the high ground. They don't take the low ground. They don't change when the world changes around them. The pressure of this world can't destroy them because they are filled with the word of God. But parasitic training will work against the knowledge of God to those who don't receive God's word in their heart. Now, if there was no opposition, and you could study the word a few times and you'll be fine. You could study the word and there's nothing to challenge it. If there were no demons, if there were no false brothers and sisters, if there was no worldly persuasion, you'd thrive in life without challenge. But we have to select God. We have to choose God out of darkness. Darkness is all around us. It's an evil persuasion against the knowledge of God. When you speak the name of Jesus, people change their demeanor. It activates some and it offends others. And they don't know where the offense is coming from. They feel that's what Satan feels. And he has so much place in their life, they act on what he feels. He's groomed them to believe that mankind is fine without Jesus. He lies to say, you don't need a Savior. And the Christians are saying that you're nothing, that you're evil. The Word of God teaches us that we are sinners. It didn't say malicious, it said sinners. We're infected with a parasite called sin. And it has to be dealt with, or we will turn into something we don't want to be. And if we ever lose the point that we've attained, we can't get it back. In other words, there are those who would do fine in this world, in this negative world. They're not even negative. They think positive. But if they ever become negative, it's hard for them to get the positive mindset again. Now you see, whatever you lose in the next generation, if you don't believe on Jesus Christ and get strong in your heart before your children and raise them in the things of God, it's going to be a much greater challenge for them. And if they don't, if in your house, they grow up and they don't steal, but the neighbor across the street or down the street or in the same classroom can influence them to do things they shouldn't be doing. And if they begin down that road, it's hard to get them back on the right track because we're infected with sin. What will we choose over time if we do nothing about our sins and old habits? Even as a Christian, you have to crucify the flesh. You have to nail that flesh to the cross. You have to bring it under subjection to the heart of God. You have to be able to operate according to the new man. And you have to fill your heart with God's word, and it will help you renew your mind, and you'll think like God thinks. And you'll see the world for what it is. It's hard to judge the world without the word of God. You need light to see it for what it is. You need light to see the darkness, the hidden things in the dark. Without that light, it's hard to judge. It's just like running down the street at midnight. You don't know what you may run into. Because sin is like a parasite. The doctrines of devils, they work against the knowledge of God. So we overcome by the word of God, by the blood and our testimony, what we say. So when we receive God's word in our heart, we're charged. And the enemy is trying to draw that charge out with his parasitic sin and his persuasions. But when you're steadily supplying your heart with God's word, you get used to winning. And it's harder for him to steal the word out of your heart. And the more you put in, the more you'll live by. And that becomes your integrity. That becomes your advice. That becomes your new life. That becomes your new abilities. That becomes your success. That becomes his failure. We become very dangerous against the world when we seek the Lord our God and King. Easy. And we're growing while we're under attack. And then we learn to attack back. And we learn to quench the fiery darts. And we learn to do the things of God in real time. And the Lord came to do these things and help us and guide us in all truth. And we win in life when we submit to his perfect will. That's how it works. And that's how we win. And that's how Satan loses. And that's how darkness is exposed before the whole world. And the work of God is won. He's raised up people that love him, that won't take bribes, they can't be bought. And they're winning the loss everywhere. And don't look for it on the news, because you're not going to find it on the news. I don't even know if this revival can be seen or not. It'll look like it looks. I don't know how it'll look. But I know what the Lord is doing. And he's doing it now. There are more people being saved right now than ever in the history of this earth. Every day, thousands of people are getting saved. So when the rapture comes, then you'll see how big that revival was. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move in your life because he loves you so much. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.